dance and kick it around.
When Pal Joey premiered in Broadway in 1940, its dark story of a nightclub performer hustling to move up in the world was seen as a departure for Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart. The musical has been revived in an updated version at Studio 54 by the Roundabout Theater Company. And joining me now are two of the show's stars, Starkey Channing and Martha Plimpton. I'm very pleased to welcome them back to the show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure
to see both of you.
Good to see you, too.
Our listeners are probably most familiar with the 1957 film that starred Frank Sinatra, but that had little relationship to the original version or the version that you're doing.
Right.
Have your audiences been, has anybody told you, gee, this isn't the Pal Joey that I know?
A lot of people have. A lot of people come to the show expecting, or at least wanting to know more about why Gladys is so much more present in this production than she is. She basically doesn't even exist in the movie,
really, my character.
But, you know, they ask those questions, but they soon forget about it. You know what I mean?
But this is so much darker than the movie. They just changed the whole point. Yeah, I guess that Frank Sinatra didn't want to be so ugly.
Late 50s, wasn't it? Early 60s, early 50s, the movie? And it's sort of fascinating that, you know, almost 20 years later, they'd be cleaning it up. I mean, Vera Simpson was conveniently a widow and not a married woman,
right.
You know. And she also was conveniently
an ex-stripper.
Yes, right. My character's a stalker. An ex-stripper, so she was able to perform a rather ladylike zip, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And she thought the really happy ending to the movie was to drive Linda, the ingenue, to meet Pal Joey, played by Frank Sinatra, so they would walk off into the sunset very happily, which is kind of a ghastly ending, considering he's a total cad and amoral and a moral idiot. So there you go.
Well, you have to wonder why either of these women, and there's the third woman, Linda, would mm-hmm. even have found this guy attractive in the first place. He is a real cat.
Animal instinct.
You play a very sophisticated woman who was not an ex-stripper.
that we know of. That's my subtext, right?
What do you think that she sees in him?
I don't think it's what she sees. I think it's what she feels.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think Vera Simpson is a woman who's done this before. I think she's played around on because she's in a miserable marriage and has a lot of dough and so she thinks she can handle it. He's one more notch on her belt. And, of course, she can't.
Mm. Well, Martha, your character tells us right at the start that we should be wary of this guy.
That's right. And Gladys and Joey don't exactly have the most glittering history. And when he comes into the club where she's been working and sort of found a certain sense of power and ownership of the place, he comes in and sort of throws everything off, and that's not good news for her. I mean, I guess Gladys's attraction to Joey probably has more to do with desperation and right time, right place, really, than the other two women in the story, you know, who become more involved with him than she ever did.
Well, the women are at opposite ends of the economic spectrum, and it's clear that the Great Depression is still mm-hmm. going on.
Mm-hmm, right.
Jobs are scarce. And it got me thinking about how luckily timely this revival is.
Yeah. It is. It's shocking, isn't it, how it's sort of come along at just the right time for these audiences who are coming. I think, you know, people are seeking, obviously, people always seek a certain amount of just sort of plain old straight entertainment. But on another level, it's touching a chord with people that I think is maybe, I don't know, it's not good, but it's fortuitous anyway.
Yeah, I also think, in fact, it's so straightforward and it's sexuality and I feel like I'm in a Billy Wilder movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, I feel like I'm in a movie because the way the thing moves and feels like a black and white movie in that sense. And, you know, like a combination of that sort of acid humor of Some Like It Hot and you know, and Double Indemnity and all of that stuff mm-hmm. Because you're bringing that German sensibility from, you know, from the war that came to Hollywood, ironically, right after this movie was, right. or rather this play was written.
Well, although it's based on the New Yorker stories by John O'Hara, who actually mm-hmm. adapted them in the original book. I guess the thing that confuses people sometimes is that it's very funny and it's dark all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's Richard Rodgers. And we think of Richard Rodgers as you'll never walk alone.
But it's Richard Rodgers with Lorenz Hart. So
yeah. I always think it's Oscar Peterson who wrote that song about the snake, you know, Take Me and Your Pretty Woman mm-hmm. and all that. I mean, I think that's very much what we're talking about here. There's sort of a fable thing about this, about human nature, the hubris that we think we can handle. You know, he won't do it to me. He may be screwing over other people. He's not going to do it to me. And I think there's something universal about that that really has nothing to do with economics and this, that, and the other. But, you know, I mean, sex, ambition, lust, you know, all that stuff is the human condition.
It is? Oh, gee. I'm living, not judging from my life. Had you read the John O'Hara stories?
No, I didn't. I just basically read the Rich Greenberg.
You never do research?
Well, I read the Rich Greenberg thing, and I read the original play eventually, which is very different structure, especially the second act. It's much more locked into that sort of 20s-like musicals that would be difficult to do now.
There are also references in the original script that would make absolutely no sense to contemporary audiences, but there still are plenty of references to the 30s, I guess the things that Richard Greenberg realized people would know about. And he also gave you, Martha, a song that originally had been done by somebody else, and it is really a showstopper.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm very fortunate to be able to perform Zip, which was, of course, made famous by Elaine Stritch when she did it on Broadway in 53 or 52. And
that was the second version.
Yes, exactly. The first one was in 1940.
And the original one had Gene Kelly
Joey.
And that's the role that kind of made his reputation.
Exactly. But some of the references in Zip are a bit arcane and, you know, Lily St. Cyr and everything. We know who Sally Rand is, or we generally know who she is, but Lily St. Cyr is a little more, it's maybe a little more obscure for people. So there's a little,
small
things
Rose
like that.
Lee. You did Gypsy Rose Lee.
Right. The song is the idea is that a reporter has interviewed Gypsy Rose Lee and is sort of recounting.
But what about this song for you? It gives you a chance to do bumps and grinds and all sorts of things. Last time we talked, you were here to talk about a performance in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Right. That's right. Or it might have been Cymbeline. Or maybe Top Girls. I can't remember.
Yeah. No, I think it was Top Girls.
But
either case, there was no bumping and
there
grinding.
There's no bumping and grinding involved in that. This has been an extraordinary adventure for me. I mean, most of the songs that I do in the show are sort of part of the show within the show. You know, they're all meant to be performances. They're not sort of built into the story the way Stockard's are. They're not scene songs, in other words. There's a certain level of terror that needs to be mastered in this situation. And just that experience alone.
Because it's a piece of business, in effect. It's not, as you say, it's not integrated into it. It's a thing where you come out and you do a thing.
You come out and it's a number. And it is a locomotive. It is a giant steam engine that is barreling towards the back of that theater, and you have got to be on it, otherwise forget it.
Stockard, you get to sing Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, one of the musical's most enduring songs. And I wonder about singing a song that so many people associate with singers like Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, what I did was I got about 20 versions of the song. I had to download them, whatever, and I listened to them, and it was very liberating because I knew the arrangements were going to be very different than in any other production of Pal Joey, and I knew the placement of the song in the show is different. And I thought totally appropriate to have it after the sort of first post-coital moment. And when Geminiani, the musical director, and I approached the song just like it was a soliloquy. And it's true, all of my songs are book songs to a large degree, which is another whole other problem that Martha has. And it's been, when I realized that this song has been deconstructed in so many ways, both musically and vocally and even with lyrics, because people cut and paste lyrics all the time with the covers, I felt free to sort of make it our own and make it, you know, really integrated into the action of the play.
You also get some of the funniest lines, or maybe they're funny because you deliver them so well.
Thank you.
But that has to be, I mean, this has some pretty witty lines.
Yes, it does.
How many of them go back to the original?
Not very many, to be honest, because really, Rich, this is a tribute to Rich Greenberg and his ability to make this sound like it's a text that might have been written quite sharply in 1939, but it's contemporary audiences that are responding to it.
Now, didn't both of you start in musical theater?
Yeah, way back. We're talking.
So what happened? Did you it just because you get more work in straight theater, or is it because you?
Well, in my case, we're talking about, you know, a college, an undergraduate college production of Three Penny Opera, you know, where the seeds of all this chaos in my life were planted, you know. So it wasn't as if I had a lot of options in those days, you know. But
that later is you were in Greece.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You replaced Chita Rivera in The
No,
Rink?
No, I replaced Liza Minnelli in The Rink.
Oh, it was Eliza?
Yes.
Martha, you've sung with the Roaches, haven't you?
Well, no, I didn't sing with the Roaches. I sang with Lucy Wainwright Roach this past summer. But no, when I was a kid, you know, 8, 9 years old, I was in musicals. You know, kids are, you need kids in musicals, I guess, right? But then it just fell away. I don't know why I didn't pursue it. Maybe I really didn't enjoy it. I have no idea.
Well, you know, I think that's really 24/7 and beyond. I mean, to get in the musical world.
It's a totally different. You have no idea how difficult and exhausting. Yeah. I mean,
you're also dancing when you're singing.
It's difficult. When you go to a Broadway show and you see these people, you're, of course, amazed and, you know, astounded and wowed and entertained and everything. But you don't actually fully appreciate the level of athleticism and commitment and courage that is required. It's showbiz on a whole other level than I think I had ever really experienced. I mean, Shakespeare is difficult. Tom Stoppard is fun and difficult, you know. But musicals, singing and dancing and leaping around is a whole other thing.
It's also, that's it. That's your life.
That's it.
That is your day. That's your evening. That's your this. And It's a whole other, you know, we're lucky. We have the variety of, you know, television, film, whatever, and we can sort of, you know, lay some fields fallow and then go other places, because let's face, we always think life is elsewhere. But if you're in a music world, that's it.
The person probably who is getting the biggest workout is Matthew Risch.
Oh boy,
He plays Joey, and he took over the role into previews. Had you already, both of you, been involved in the show at that point?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. We had rehearsed the entire show, and
we played seven performances,
and we had gone through tech and everything else. And Matt Risch, who without question is probably one of the best prepared understudies I think I've ever seen. I mean, the guy really knew what his job was, and came in really heroically and was able to fill in a moment of absolute necessity.
Yeah.
And he just was incredible.
Yeah, he's incredible then, and he's, you know, he was so incredible. They said, oh, this guy's good enough to take over, and he's only grown and grown and grown since then with all his pressure on him. I think he's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Christian Hoff hurt himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This had nothing to do with too much mercury in his
this
in his
was
sushi.
A legitimate... No, it didn't.
Did he hurt himself while he was performing?
I guess.
Apparently, during the show, yeah.
Now, when you sign on to something like this, you sign on for a limited run.
Right.
And now it's been extended.
Right.
For a couple weeks,
so you have to put your whole life on hold?
No. I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I would bet that Stockard probably feels the same way. You know, the theater is not something we do in our spare time. It's our actual life. You know, it's our work. It's what we do. And, I mean, it's part of a large...
You mean movies are what you do in your spare time?
Lately?
Law and Order.
No. But you know what I mean? So for it to extend is actually terrific and lucky for us, and I think we're both thrilled about it.
Well, I think we're both, like, totally proud of it. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm sort of in love with it. I
really love playing it, love the company.
This is not a hard thing to do, you know, in terms of showing up. I mean, your days become slightly different than most people's, but basically, if you're going to be in a musical, I think this is the one to do. I mean, it's also really interesting. It's really, as an actor, it's really fun. It is funny. It is dramatic.
There's stuff to play, and there's
no cartoon characters.
But you also have another advantage here, because you're really doing, in effect, a new musical. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly a pure revival. And at the same time, you have two incredible songs, although you don't sing the other song. I Could Write a Book, which is just one of the most gorgeous songs.
Yeah. Beautiful, yeah.
But two major Rodgers and Hart songs. And it's it's the best of both possible worlds.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, for two actresses who occasionally like to sing, you couldn't
and like
ask,
to get laughs.
Yeah, yeah. You really couldn't get a better entree, I guess.
I mean, you have a Richard Greenberg play with Rogers and Hart music, yeah. So that's pretty damn good.
That's a nice combo.
Based on John O'Hara.
Based on John O'Hara. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, I don't know whether it's going to be extended again. It's extended until March 1st. Mm-hmm. What happens when it ends? Are you going to go on vacation?
I don't know.
Let's take a road trip.
Yeah.
Stockton and I are going to drive to Florida together.
But I get the feeling that if you had your druthers, you'd be back on Broadway as soon as possible.
I should think so, yeah.
You know, it's the great thing about being an actor is the phone rings and your life changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy, but it's cool.
It's mm-hmm. worth it.
Well, there's also that nice thing that happens after you sing a song. Well, when each of you come out, there's applause
I
even before you do anything.
Leonard, there is nothing like the sound of that kind of applause. I mean, there are evenings when we do the show or when I'll do Zip or something, and I've never heard anything like that, and it gives me a whole new understanding of why I do this, and I'm not sure if I'll be able to go back, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, Martha's definitely bound for glory. Glory hunting.
I mean, it's a really nice feeling to know that you're entertaining people on that level. It's a whole other thing. You know, there's a silent sort of appreciation that we all enjoy and like. And then there's polite applause, which we also enjoy and like. But there is nothing like that.
Exactly. We get that. We get the big, you know, wah. We get the big laughs. And then we get the, oh.
Yeah.
Which is also one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The, love that. Yeah.
Well, my great thanks to both of you for being here today. Stockard Channing, Martha Plimpton. They are both starring in the Roundabout Revival of Pal Joey at Studio 54, 254 West 54th Street. In the old days, everybody could dance there. Now they just dance, along with some very serious dancers.
That's absolutely right. Brilliant dancers.
Yeah.
And the show is running until March 1st.
Yeah.
But I hope that you're in other things so that you can come back.
Thank you.
Thanks.